Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, I always like it when somebody's brand spanking new in front of this Straight Talk table. She's not new. She's been in the community about a year or so. Her name is Dr. Pamela Richardson Wilkes, and she is the El Presidente at Clinton College. And she is with us today. We're really going to do a fitness report on her because she's been here for about a year. And I was secretly hired by the trustees to find out how well she's doing. Now, her special assistant, Dr. Wayne Woodson, is over here. He's vowed to be quiet. He has no microphone in front of him. We'll see how long that lasts. Okay, I got it. All right. And I'm not going to mess with this guy because he's bigger than me. Okay. All right. So, Dr. Wilkes, tell us a little bit about you first off.
Awesome. So, good afternoon. Glad to be here. Glad to be on air with you. Let's start off with the fact that I'm the 14th president of Clinton College.
14th.
The 14th. So there are 13 that came before me, and hopefully I can do them proud during my term and my tenure. I'm originally from a small town called Hollister, North Carolina, that is in eastern North Carolina, near Warren County.
Okay.
Country girl, born and raised, and grew up in North Carolina and moved my way around and over the past 26 years in higher education, and started out as an English professor and moved my way up to now being a president of one of our nation's HBCUs, and excited to be in Rock Hill. And,
good for you.
Yeah.
So you crossed over the line to the good Carolina?
Crossed over the line.
Couldn't resist. All right. So for those who are, and we do have so many new people that are moving into this community, they may never have heard of Clinton College. So the floor is yours. Tell them about Clinton College. Some background and what you do, that kind of thing.
Awesome. So Clinton College has been around since 1894. And we are a small, private, African Methodist Episcopal Zion affiliated four-year institution. We offer associate's degrees. We offer bachelor's degrees. And this fall, we are enrolling our first graduate students in our MBA program, which is a fully online program for any of you who are interested in enrolling in graduate studies. But we also have a School of Nursing. We have cybersecurity, history, music, as well as biology, business, religious studies, a number, a plethora of, again, associate's, master's, bachelor's degrees, as well as certificate programs. For, in case you don't want to go to the institution for a long period of time, we can help you also manage through our workforce development.
Now, you've been a four-year school for only, what, a few years now?
Since 2013.
That yes. long?
Yes, that oh, long. Time goes fast, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, everything else is getting older except me. I can't understand what...
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I got you. Now, your student body is what? How big is your student body?
So last year, the year prior, we were at 239. Last year, we were at 259. We actually increased our enrollment over the spring or during the spring to around about 261 students. And right now, we're on target. We've already exceeded where we were last year. We're at 90% of our students retained for the fall from the spring, and well on our way to being over 300 students. This fall.
Wow, there you go. 300 students. Good for you. Now, do you have enough dormitory space for are all the students residents of the campus?
So not all of our students are residents. We do have a global program, which is our online program. And a lot of our students are commuters. They live here in Rock Hill, South Carolina, or they want to live off campus. But we are a residential campus. We've pretty much outgrown our capacity at this point. We have about 140-bed capacity on campus and classroom space that we need to expand upon as we expand in our academics. So, it's a lot going on, but it's a good a lot that's happening on campus.
You know, this thing called COVID that we had kind of took the whole world and put it upside down. Mm-hmm. Everybody left the classroom. They went home and thought they could learn off of a television set, and that didn't work out too well. But this whole dynamic of doing things, you know, at home, still with us to some degree, and getting students back into the classroom has been a challenge. Yeah. You seem to have overcome that.
Absolutely. What we found is that a majority of our students don't want to actually learn online. A majority of the students at Clinton College want to be in a classroom. They wanted the touch and the feel of being alongside students, alongside faculty members who can answer questions right on the spot, and who can assure them that they're going to be able to make it not only through the year, but, you know, to the point of graduation. The other part of that is our career services area also facilitates internships and makes sure that our students are able to get jobs once they graduate, so that they're not just walking across the stage with a degree in one hand, but that they're also walking across the stage with a job in the other.
So even though you've only been there a year, is your curriculum kind of workforce related so that you can make, you know, somebody who's investing in a college education knows they're going to get almost an immediate return by what? Like your School of Nursing, for instance.
Absolutely, absolutely. We do have a workforce initiative thrust, but that's also coupled with our research thrust. So while we have a huge number, a large number of our students are going straight into the workforce, we have probably about an equal amount of students who are wanting to go to graduate school and who are wanting to go out and do additional types of research.
Really?
So we have a nice mesh of students who, you know, are saying, hey, I don't want to go to school anymore after this. I want to get a job. I want to go into the workforce, and I want to make some immediate money. And then we have those other students who are saying, hey, I want to go into a professional degree. Like, I want to go and be a doctor or an attorney or a professor, and they require additional, education. So we have about half and half of our students who are in
this. My guess is you're going to reach back into your briefcase, and you're going to pull out this grid that shows the more education you have, chances are that you're going to make more money.
That's what the statistics say. That's what the statistics say. We will go with those numbers. Those numbers keep me employed.
All right, so you've been there a year.
Yes.
What's been your biggest challenge so far?
I'm going to be honest. I think as a small private institution, we do have challenges. We do have challenges with making sure that we meet our everyday obligations. And what I mean by that is funding sources are different for a small private HBCU than they are for a public institution. When you look at the institution and our funding sources, the ways in which we depend upon tuition as the thing that keeps us going, I think that those are the challenges that we face, but we can also look at those as opportunities. So we look at opportunities of how we can have moments like this with you, where we can talk to the public about ways that we can support or ways that Clinton College can be supported, but also in telling the story of who Clinton College is, who are our students, who are our faculty, what are their experiences and their passions, in order to be able to have someone reinvest in, or invest, if you would, into the institution. So I think as people, one of our challenges or my challenges has been even just understanding who Clinton is, what the Clinton brand and expectation is, and how to get that name out there so that we can get better support in order to facilitate these opportunities for our students, some of whom may not have had an opportunity for a degree in higher ed if it not had been for Clinton College.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you take a look at the profile of your typical student, your typical student is going to be, how would you describe your typical student?
I think our typical student may be a first-year generation college student. They may be the first in their family to attend college. In some of our cases, some of our a large number of our students are actually second-generation college students. But I think that our students want the small collegiate experience. They want the hands-on experience with a faculty and, again, classmates. And I think a lot of our students want to be able to say, I can see the work that I'm doing right in front of me, instead of being lost or caught up in a huge number of students or big auditorium of students.
Right.
So our students, yes, we do have some students that we do take with a level of preparedness or challenges with preparedness. But we also take those students and we couple them with the student that's the 4.0. Mm-hmm. And we get both of them across the finish line by providing them with the scaffolding and support services necessary in order for those students, again, who may not have had an opportunity to go to a four-year institution, to be able to say, hey, I can make it alongside that student who the expectation would be for them to be a college student, and both of them cross the finish line at the same time, walk across the stage and end up with a degree and being productive citizens of our society. And that's what we're seeking in terms of our Clinton College student.
Well, that's the key. I mean, that's what we want for everybody, to be a productive member of society and
absolutely
help society become better than it is right now.
Absolutely.
So the students, you know, you talk about the typical student is a first generation higher ed student.
Mm-hmm.
Do they, are most of your students, how do you say this, are their tuition, is most of the tuition coming through federal grants, or is it coming through loans? I mean,
so there, it's a combination. Our students, 100% of our students are on financial aid. And that financial aid is whether it's a Pell Grant, whether it's various grants from the state of South Carolina, tuition grants, as well as loans. We are actually working with our students to try to eliminate debt upon graduation. And so as we look at our tuition structure, as we look at the ways in which we as an institution want to be able to help our students when they graduate, we're looking to figure out ways that they can actually finance their own education without having to depend on loans or different types of assistance that would require them to pay it back. So as we work with funders, as we work with grant entities, we're just trying to make sure that those students don't incur a lot of debt that then, you know, of course, they won't be able to contribute back.
So to do that, are you, I don't know, actively out there looking for donors who would, you know, make contributions that would go towards tuition assistance?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Towards scholarships, tuition assistance, anything that, again, would be able to help us support the cause of those students to get be able to get an education.
So do you have somebody within your team that's
yes
devoted to this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We have a vice president for institutional advancement.
Right.
His name is Avery Staley.
Okay.
And that is his job, is to ensure that we're able to create opportunities for our students to be able to be financially stable and set in terms of that. So we have an advancement and development office to help us with that process.
So if you could wave a magic wand,
mm-hmm,
and reach everybody out there who's got capacity to help out Clinton,
mm-hmm,
and let's just say to cover the tuition of those who really are in need,
mm-hmm,
how much money would we need? Because you do have a small student body compared, let's say, to Winthrop over here, but 300 students.
Yeah.
I mean, $500,000?
Probably a little more than that.
Yeah.
I would honestly say I don't know if there's particularly a price tag. I think that if you look at 300 students at about $10,000 a piece for tuition, that would give you your number. Because our tuition is roughly about, it's actually $11,000. We have a flat tuition of $11,000 a year. And so if you're looking at that for our students and the tuition, that's what we'd be looking at. If you wanted to support a student, we'd be looking at roughly about $11,000 for tuition. And that, of course, does not include room and board. But as you think about supporting our students in the tuition efforts, that's where we would begin that conversation.
So how's your institutional development person doing?
He's doing great. We're excited about some of the opportunities that we had this year. We've had some individuals who've contributed to the institution to create catalyst opportunities for others to be able to say, hey, I believe in the mission and the vision of the institution, the president, where things are going, and we want to invest. And so we're looking for other individuals who want to invest in the institution, in our future, and in making sure that Clinton College is around for another 132 years for our students to be able to be to have those opportunities.
So you're reaching out well beyond just Rock Hill and York County.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you're an HBCU and you're affiliated with the African American Methodist Church, I've forgotten what the name is called.
Yeah,
you got a lot of people out there.
Yes.
That probably know about Clinton.
Absolutely. And the AME Zion Church has been around again for a long, long time. So we definitely have those outreach opportunities as well on a national scale. So
yeah, yes. All you have to do is go down Saluda Street and see that beautiful, beautiful, I don't know what the formal name of it
That's
is.
Correct. But it, Transformation Center.
Transformation Center. Thank you very
Monroe.
Much.
Uh-huh.
That thing is gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Okay.
Yes.
We're going to take our mid-program break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about, okay, what's on the planning board as we continue our discussion here on a Thursday afternoon with Dr. Pamela Richardson-Wilkes from Clinton College, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relaxing with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. You can find out more about them online at andersongriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about Piedmont Medical Network online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. All right, here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, what we do is fresh subs and salads, and we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters. Please stop reading your phones and pay attention to what's going on here. At the count of three, let's tell everybody. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
The food, the number 19 is the best.
When I want lunch, I come to Substation 2 because I can't remember never not coming here.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
More than 40 years ago, Piedmont Medical Center opened with a promise to provide compassionate, high-quality care. This year, we step forward as Piedmont Medical Network. Two hospitals, four emergency departments, and hundreds of dedicated physicians evolving to care for you today and for generations to come. As we grow and expand, one thing remains the same: our commitment to caring for our neighbors. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com/about.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
The food is really good, and it's a great price.
The hot meatball subs with jalapenos.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Dr. Pamela Richardson-Wilkes is with us. She is the president of Clinton College, been there about a year. She's got her feet on the ground. She's got it all figured out. She's got a master plan, and we're going to find out what it's all about. Okay, Doc. Tell us what you're working. One of the things I know is you're working on is a campus-wide master plan.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So we're in the process of finalizing our campus master plan. What we want to do is not look at what we're doing today or tomorrow, but just looking at least actually about 30 years out. And what does the campus look like as we begin to increase our students? How do we scale with that growth? And what are the necessities to also not only facilitate the institution and the students, but also the city of Rock Hill? And as an anchor in South Side Rock Hill, we want to be able to also make sure that we're doing what's necessary for that community as well. So the campus master plan will have a student, but also a community engagement component as well.
Well, good, because you are a key part of the South Side development plan for the south end of town. So we talk about 30 years out, man, that's a lot. I mean, when you think about that, I mean, what does that mean in terms of just the size of the student body? Would 300 become 1,000?
I think 300 would become roughly about no more than 1,500 on campus students. For me, as I imagine and I envision the campus, I don't envision it being a huge campus. I envision it being still a small campus that has a focus on doing what we do well, and that's training students in a way that is more one-on-one and intimate. Now, our global, we're looking to expand even more. So, again, the student body, when you talk about that, would probably expand beyond, you know, 2,000, 3,000 students as we grow our graduate programs, our, you know, global studies, which is our online capacity. But when you really look at the campus as a whole, when you look at the expansion of athletic programming and the need for athletic, facilities, when you look at the need for classrooms, facilities, performing arts areas, a chapel, and student success and engagement and student affairs buildings. All of that is not going to happen overnight, and we want to, again, be able to pace that with the growth. So when we look 30 years from now, we want to be able to say not just that we made buildings or we built grounds, but that we were able to sustain them. So a 30-year campus master plan is also looking at how do we not just build a building, but how do we keep it? How do we maintain it? How do we look at maintenance and making sure that the provisions are there to keep that those things going as far as the institution is concerned?
So the community part of this, in other words, as you look 30 years out, you would want Clinton to be what as far as the community is concerned, besides a proud place where you get a good education,
right?
How would the community be wrapped into that?
I think we want to see ourselves also as an economic driver and motivator in the community. We already contribute $10 million in accordance with the last UNCF economic study, feasibility study of the institution. We contribute roughly about $10 million to the local economy. And so as we think about how we can engage that, how does that look like from a retail perspective? How does that look like from a housing perspective? How does that look like from an engagement within community health and wellness? And so as we think about Clinton College and Heckel Boulevard and Crawford Road in that corridor, we want to be able to say that we were able to help produce small businesses and anchor and be an incubator for other businesses in the area to produce resources that the community also needs, such as food servicing and community health and wellness engagement. So I think that's where we are when we think about long-term viability and sustainability and the economic viability of the Southside community and the connection to Clinton.
So to do this kind of forward thinking, are you using, I don't know, a consultant to help you do this visioning, or are you just doing it internally?
No, we're not doing it internally. We have a number of individuals and who are looking at the different ways and feasibility, working also with the city of Rock Hill, looking at their plans of study for the area. So there are a number of engagements outside of just Clinton College to be able to say how does Clinton look at where the city of Rock Hill is going, how it's growing, and how we can be a part of that growth. That's why it can't be just a simple 5 or 10 year. We have to look at where the city is going to be and how our growth can actually coordinate with the growth of the city and those requirements at the time.
Well, we're growing. No doubt about that. We're growing. And it just keeps coming down in waves from that big metro to the north.
Yes.
And it's pushing through Fort Mill. There's basically no more land to build up there. It's coming down here. We're seeing new housing projects all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. Yeah. That's good. So right now, I mean, you got this big, let's take a look, 30 years. But what's going on right now, like this year and next year? Are you doing anything in terms of planning or starting construction on, I don't know, dormitories or... You mentioned athletics. What do you need for athletics? That kind of thing.
So we are looking over the next couple of years. We won't say the next year, but we are looking at how this campus master plan can be rolled out over the next 5, 10, and 15 years and then sustained out from there. Over the next 5 years, what we are hoping to have is a new athletic complex. We're looking to have new residential facilities. In fact, we are looking to have a new residential facility within the next 18 to 24 months, because the need is there for us. And then we definitely are going to be looking at new academic buildings, even down to our cafeteria. Our cafeteria, we've outgrown our cafeteria and what we're able to do. And then we service the community in our cafeteria, for instance, as well. We have a lot of people who love to come out on Wednesdays and Fridays for our Soul Food Wednesdays. But
right
we
there.
Absolutely.
He go. That man, we ate over there.
So we provide a service because it's also a food desert, or we're considered a food desert. So the institution provides a little bit more than just, again, an educational resource. We provide additional resources for the community.
So right now, you can house roughly how many people?
140 on campus.
140 on campus.
Mm-hmm.
You want to double that? You want that double that capacity?
So right now, in doing our research, about 87% of our student population requests housing. So if you could imagine, if we're at 1,000 students, then we need to be able to house
870
students. So yeah, that's the need that we're at right now.
So I mean, are you raising money for that project? Have you got a design for that project yet?
We're going through a fundraising plan right now to be able to look at a capital campaign that we want to be able to launch next year to be able to look towards that. And we're also in conversations with additional individuals and entities to look at ways that we can grow the capital necessary in order to develop those areas.
Yeah, I know that Winthrop is doing the exact same thing. They're adding, I think, 400 beds.
Yes.
And the price tag is not cheap.
No.
That's for doggone sure. And it's not going to get any less. That's great.
Absolutely.
All right, so you got that underway in the immediate future. Is there anything else in the immediate future here in the next year or two?
I think most of the other things will all be with regards to shoring up our internal controls and operations, making sure that we're continuing to be operationally efficient,
right.
And even more and greater operational efficiency. And outside of that, our academic programming, expanding our academic programs, incorporating more graduate programs, master's degrees, and even doctorate degrees. We're wanting to expand our allied health area and our nursing program, as well as to incorporate some other degrees that our students are requesting and that the public and the community want. So I think that those are the other things as well.
Is that what your special assistant, Dr. Woodson, over here? I mean, is that his is this his job to do?
He's helping me with making sure that takes place along with our provost and vice president for academic affairs. Absolutely,
he looks like he'd be a good enforcer. You know, she told you to do this. Is there a problem?
Absolutely.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to hear all these positive things happening at Clinton College. I hope we hear from you more often so we can help you spread the word.
Absolutely.
Because, we're blessed to have all these academic institutions here. We got Winthrop across the street. We got Clinton at the south end of town. We got York Tech kind of sandwiched in between.
Absolutely.
So that's great.
Absolutely.
Thank you for all you're doing. Thanks for being here today and giving us some time.
Thank you so much. And if anyone wants to give, go to www.clintoncollege.edu, and we will accept all of your investments. Thank you so much.
Her name is Dr. Pamela Richardson Wilkes. Thank you very much. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program. Live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Oh, yeah. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. Online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right. This is not a lot of common sense because I'm looking at these people over here. Okay, we're all ready now. It's time to do it. Fresh subs and salads. 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock. Let's impress Rock Hill. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
That's the way it should be. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.